This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 249, brought to you by InStock Trades and iFanboy listeners like you. Hey there, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 249. I butched it up for this part, you may have noticed. I'm Josh Flanagan. I'm here with, some other dudes. I don't follow who dudes are. Ron Richards.
Hey, good to be back.
And Connor, he's on a Boy Scout Jamboree or something, I don't know.
He's on a bender, that's what he's on.
That's we call that Thursday. and Paul Montgomery is here.
Roger, Jill, nice to be here.
Good to have you, Paul.
Sitting in for the big
I heard
man.
The conch shell. I heeded the call. I'm here.
I heard the conch shell.
What are we talking about?
I got to go. What? I got to go. I didn't hear anything. Trust me. iFanboy.com is our website. It is all about comic books and the things that we love about them. Every week, we read our comic books because they come out weekly. You may not know that. And one of us, we alternate. We rotate in shifts, usually every 3 weeks, picks the pick of the week. That is the best book that person read that week, the one they liked the most, their favorite, the best example of the art. They call that the pick of the week. We write a little review about it. Then we come here to talk about it on the podcast. Other books, other stuff comes up. We generally like to have a good time.
Yeah.
But not just – you're throwing me off, Richards. Stay tuned for info about the not last by far, the latest iFanboy giveaway at the end of this show. Someone will win books and news about our 250th episode coming forward quickly. Before we get going, here's your spoiler warning. If you haven't read the books, don't be all mad if we wreck them for you because we're going to be talking about them. So there's your two-minute warning. Ron. You had a busy Wednesday.
I did have a busy Wednesday that we're not going to get into, but let's just say my personal life was busy. But that said, that didn't stop me from getting to the comic book store and buying what seems like my new average load of books is like 15 books a week. I don't know about you guys, but that's what, between all the publishers and everything like that, it looks like I'm netting out. Like it's a normal week for me is like 15 books, which...
I had six.
I hate you. But so that said, you know, I read through them, and it was, you know, like it's really interesting. This post, like month after San Diego, you know, this August kind of summer doldrums. It seems week in and week out, we've had, at least for my exposure, I've had a great mix across multiple publishers of really good books. Nothing like, oh my god, this is the most important issue in the world. But then also nothing like that was total. Well, some things were total trash, but we'll get to that in a bit.
I had a very subpar week.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah. No. The thing was, I enjoyed a lot of things. Like, I had a lot of fours, you know, in my reviews. Yeah. You know, I rated a lot of fours. And there was some stuff that came close, but I found little nitpicks as to why I couldn't pick them. And as I'm sitting at the end of the night, very late, I think it was like midnight California time. It was miserable. But I'm sitting, I'm looking at them. You know, like the one that I really enjoyed the most, and the one actually, like I kind of go back to, there are a couple things that trigger for me what is my pick of the week. The ones that I'm the most excited for, and then at the end of it, I'm like, oh, that was great. That was fun reading. And the also the books that I find myself in the store talking about as we buy. And this week, the book that we were talking about while we bought was Justice League Generation Lost. And the topic of conversation in the comic book store was how very quietly this book has become one of the books to read that is the most genuine and I don't want to say simple in a negative way, but just like, you know, focused in what it is and doing it well, and that and those who aren't reading it are really kind of missing out. So Justice League Generation Lost number 8 ended up being at the end of the night the one that I went with for the pick of the week for that reason. It launched under the Brightest Day banner, which I think, you know, this is the whole thing with these little status quo banners like the Heroic Age and Brightest Day. I was looking at my comics and like a handful of them had these banners this week. And I was like, you know that, you know, if I was a casual reader, I probably wouldn't read any of these if I wasn't reading. You know, like I would see that banner, I'd be like, well, that's not for me.
I'm not a casual reader and I'm not reading any of them.
Right. And so, which really kind of sucks because this kind of works against it in that manner. Judd Winnick wrote it, Aaron Lopresti drew it, and a great cover by Cliff Chang. Cliff Chang's been doing the covers for the past couple issues on this. And what this is, like when this book came out, I kind of cringed a little. Connor got all excited because this was the latest take on putting the Justice League International back together. And they actually even had Keith Giffen doing layouts and breakdowns and working with Winnick on it. And it's coming out biweekly, and it came out, spun out of the Brightest Day event, mainly because the White Lantern in Blackest Night, one of the people resurrected was Max Lord, who was the, those who don't know might, you know, I can explain it, in that he was the guy who brought together the Justice League International in the 80s, turned out to be a telepathic supervillain, and Wonder Woman broke his neck and killed him a few years ago, and that's Max Lord. But now he's back thanks to the White Lantern, and so characters like Booster Gold and Fire and Ice and Captain Atom from the old Justice League International from the 80s have kind of gotten back together to try to find Max Lord and stop at whatever he's doing, and it's the typical kind of Justice League versus Max Lord story again. But now we've got the new Blue Beetle, which is a cool character that I know much about, as well as they've introduced the new Rocket Red, which is the Russian kind of armor-based hero. And Judd Winnick very, very, like I said, quietly and subtly has taken this book that is full of baggage and full of past history and expectations for humor and things like that, and he's kind of carved out his own little thing with this and has found the right balance of that humor that you expect with these characters, as well as the interpersonal relationships, as well as action and suspense and that sort of thing. And in this issue and the last issue, really for me, kind of gave a tip of the of a little bit of a return to the world of Checkmate. Which, you know, those who might remember years ago, we loved the ongoing series that Greg Rucka and Eric Trotman had wrote around the whole Checkmate organization. And once that got canceled, Checkmate, it was in JSA Cobra. It's been kind of behind the scenes. This whole issue took, the majority of this issue and the issue before, it took place in the Checkmate Castle, and totally gave me that taste of why I like Checkmate. Like, I don't know why I like Checkmate. It doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, I love the Black King and the White King and all the different roles and the.
He'd call up. He'd be like, yeah. This doesn't make sense, guys. Why am I enjoying it? It's okay, man. Just go. No, you don't understand. It doesn't make sense.
So in this issue, you've got the culmination of the Justice League's attempt to storm the castle of Checkmate to find Max Lord, and they did it under the guise of Rocket Red. They all had Rocket Red armor.
Great recap page, by the way.
Yeah, great recap page. Yes, really.
It's not a text-based recap page. It's a page where they physically show you that they're in costume.
Yeah, Lopresti did it great. Like he drew all the characters in their normal costumes, and then the next panel is them in their Rocket Red costume, because they all look the same once they're in those costumes. But I had no problem knowing who was who for some reason, which is very talented. And honestly, one of the highlights for this is the new Rocket Red. Which I don't know if it's the Russian accent or the way Winnick's writing it, but this dude is funny. I don't know if I'm alone in that.
I think it's Cosmo in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's a little bit better. But this is, you know, it's always funny.
Well, he's butchering the English, you know, kind of the idioms, you know, like he's saying, you know, everything's gonna be right as Maine, And they're like, no, you mean right as rain. He's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. He's like, I thought it was a reference to your state. And so like, it was just like, I don't know, there's just little things like that.
Wait, but some, I think he's ripping me off. Anyway, no one gets that joke, just me. Thank you.
But for some reason, I really just found him really kind of endearing. And also combined with the fact that the butchering of the language combined with this character just has this honest-to-goodness sincerity to him.
Yeah.
Which is like he just wants to he just wants to join the team and do good and be an asset to the team. And it really comes across in his actions and his words and everything that they do. And the whole, like, basically he needs to stall for time. And so they're all in costume and Rocket Red starts yelling at, Talib, whatever that guy's name, the Black King, and yelling about checkmates, not in accordance with communism or Russia, and going on about communist ideals. And it was very funny. Meanwhile, they're, you know, behind the scenes, Booster and Skeets are trying to figure out where to go and where Max is. And it just has that. It's reminiscent of the old Justice League International without being a repeat, without being a rehash, and it feels like it's something new, which is a good thing. So ultimately, yeah, that's why I like the book. Paul, you read it, or?
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's pretty good. I gave it 4 stars. I think it's got that nice balance of, as you said, like the comedy and the action. And I think Max Lord, his whole plot is sort of one of the more interesting conceits to come out of Brightest Day, where he's resurrected and he was known as this, you know, this horrible person around the world. And it's sort of like, you know, Dark Reign, where, you know, everybody sort of forgets that that Norman Osborn is a bad guy and he's their hero now. That he's not exactly a hero, but nobody knows who he is. And it's just these heroes who remember him. It's a really interesting idea, and it goes along with his power set that he's like a crazy telepath and he creates this like telepathy bomb sort of. And they're just really cool ideas, and I like the group together. I think Fire's really interesting. She was interesting back in Checkmate as well, but I think it's a really good team, and it is unfortunate that it's, you know, Brightest Day, Justice League, Generation Lost. I wish it was just JLA.
Yeah, totally. This could just be the Justice League book, and it'd be totally worth reading. And the thing is that it seems like it's steeped in a lot of history and continuity, but the way Winnick's writing it, you don't need to know anything about these characters. He's writing it in a way that explaining who everybody is, what they're doing, why they're doing it. And it's just done right. It's just done well. I filled my review on iFanboy.com with full of hyperbole, but I really think this is one of the books to be reading right now. I think it's really kind of re-energizes me. And Lepresti's art was he's very underrated, I think, in terms of superhero artist stuff. It's just a solid superhero team book.
Like, I think a lot of the times when we say that like a book is a lot of fun and it's not so bogged down in continuity, it sort of means that they have to be small, one and done kind of stories. Whereas this is a fun book, but it tells a really big story. I mean, the scope of it is pretty huge, and it's got a lot of players involved, and they're involved, you know, checkmates and everything. So I think it's a pretty refreshing take on something that's like event size sort of huge, but in its own little corner of the universe, I guess.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. But what was also a lot of fun, which is probably a close second, was Avengers number 4, Bendis and Romita. I just love time travel stories and that sort of thing. And any issue where you get these crazy double-page spreads of John Romita drawing tons of characters, for me, is a good thing.
A perfect book for him to be drawing.
Yeah, double-page spread of Thor in the air with all the dinosaurs and Zeppelins and Galactus and biplanes and stuff like that was just awesome. But it was also, you know, it was a lot of fun taking the Avengers and mashing them up with whatever's going on with this time stream and trying to figure out what's going on. And you'd Killraven and Devil Dinosaur and Confusion and Chaos, and I don't know. I had a lot of fun reading this Avengers title.
Yeah, I think that it's one of the most entertaining of all the billions of new Avengers books. If I have one criticism, I agree with some people who've said that, you know, the voice it's sort of consistent for every character. It sort of doesn't matter where the tail of the word balloon points, because Bendis is sort of writing every character with a very similar voice. It doesn't really matter who's saying that. And I don't think that's like a huge fault with Bendis, because he's written all these characters exceptionally well before, you know, as individuals. I think it's just that there's so many characters on the page.
Yeah.
there's a lot going on, and it's a big story. So I think it's there's a lot of the dialogue is sort of, you know, getting from one point to another.
And I can see that. I think there are a lot of people making a lot of jokes too, which is like, it's very jokey, you know.
It's very jokey.
Yeah, and you got Spider-Man, you got Hawkeye, you got Wolverine, you got, you know, like everyone's having their kind of moment of humor, which I did find myself going, this is a lot, you know. Josh, you're being oddly quiet.
I don't read either of these books.
You dropped Avengers?
I don't read any Avengers books any longer.
You dropped them all?
Yep.
I'm shocked. When did that happen?
I read Prime. It was the thing where you feel like, all right, I'm good. I read the first couple issues of each of the new Avengers books, and I was like, I had enough of this kind of thing for a while. This book, I really thought what Paul just said is that I was just like, it was all this. It was just 15 characters standing on every page making jokes to one another. And I don't think it was utilizing Romita's strengths most of the time. Some pages it was, but the most of it was just, how do we find a way to have all these guys standing here? And that really bugged me for some reason. And so I just wasn't interested. So I thought, I'll just take off for a little while, because, you know, we did New Avengers for a really long time.
Years,
and Mighty Avengers and all that stuff, and I just am like, let's step away for a little bit, and then I'll be excited about it, because I wasn't excited about it.
Right. Well, I'm excited about it. I mean, it basically ends with the Cap, Bucky, Iron Man, Wolverine team meeting up with Maestro Hulk, which anytime he's involved, that's for me, I was like, ooh, as a Marvel fan, I get excited by that. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, I thought the moment where, you know, Bucky has they're hiding on the side of the battle, and Bucky's got his gun on Kang and is going to take the shot, and Wolverine tells him to stop, and the big discussion as to whether, you know, the whole butterfly effect and what happens if you change with the time stream, and, you know, I thought that was an interesting take, and I love time travel stories, so like, it's hitting me on that note as well. So
I think we've come to the cool point where it's a confrontation towards the end. This is the spoiler where, well, it's on the cover, is old Iron Man, Tony Stark meeting up with, you know, present Tony Stark. And we're gonna see what Tony Stark becomes, and
apparently taking a hacksaw to himself.
Yeah,
which is kind of weird.
and somehow the Red Hulk is gonna end up in here somewhere soon.
Yeah,
I think in the next two issues.
Oh geez, well that might be the jumping the shark point.
Right.
Even though we're pro Red Hulk, so I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, but Josh, are you reading?
Can't help it.
Yeah, I know. It's like a gut reaction. Josh, are you reading any comics?
I do read. I read a comic.
Okay, what'd you read?
I read Invincible 74.
Yeah,
part of the Viltrumite War.
Yep.
Actually, I one of the things I really like about this Viltrumite War is that they've completely gone for it. Like, they left everything behind, and the book has changed, and now this is like, it's not a crossover. It's like a little event. Like,
yeah,
they're on an alien world. There's all these other characters going on. Everything has changed. All the relationships have changed. And it's just like this, like, flipping of the decks. And I found it, I like it a lot. And I really like the bits where Oliver and, I don't know, do they call him Nolan or not?
I don't know,
Omni-Man.
Nolan.
Are, like, walking around and talking to each other. And they're getting to know each other. And it's like this weird, awkward, it's kind of human, but it's kind of not, because neither of them are human. You know, and then they look all haggard and bearded, and that's fun. And then just all this giant action that is what Ryan Ottley just does so well. And it's just this Ryan Ottley explosion of fun on a page, one after another. And it went by really fast. But because everything is so alien, like, all of the things that you come to expect don't quite happen. Like, the very last page, like, the one weird brain thing kills his brother, who's the brain thing. It turns out that doesn't really kill him. It's just, they're just like these little tiny things like that where your expectations are being you know, challenged left and right a little bit. You know, like when I put this in Best Panels of the Week, but when, like, Alan the Alien walks in on the tech jacket guy and he's like, because he's sleeping with some blue alien or something like that. It was just lots of little fun things like that. And I think it'll be fun. I'm guessing that, much like the Conquest storyline from before, that by, like, the last few issues of this are just going to be pages of action.
Yeah,
and no dialogue whatsoever.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, next issue 75, so it's got to be building up to something big, you know.
Yeah.
Can you
imagine how long this has been going on? That's amazing.
With 75 issues?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Years.
Help me with the scope here. Viltrumite is like scabies, or is it like something else? I don't read this book. So, what is a Viltrumite?
It's the planet. It's the planet that Invincible is following.
Oh, it's like so. It's like planet, it's like planet, the Krypton analog.
Yes,
the
planet is Viltrum. Okay.
Yeah, Viltrumite.
Invincible himself, Mark, is half Viltrumite. Yeah. His father.
It just
is,
it sounds like something you would get when you're at like a sleepover in the Midwest.
Yeah,
I think it sounds like something you would eat on a sandwich in Australia.
I agree with that.
Yes, that's a Vegemite joke. Everyone, thank you very much. Here all night.
Zing. So
I've come to a shocking conclusion.
Are you going to drop Captain America?
I'm going to drop Captain America. This is my last issue.
Dun-dun-dun, why?
I just didn't care. Like, at this point, I actually read the Nomad story and liked it more than the A story.
Wow.
Didn't it just get good recently? I thought there was like a...
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's funny because I really enjoyed this issue from a story standpoint and sometimes the art standpoint, because I love Baron Zemo. I mean, like, anytime you have Baron Zemo involved, it's fantastic. But the problem with it is that as much as that there was really good page or two of Zemo and things like that, especially towards the end, there were some rough, quick, rushed panels.
There were some really rough art panels. And there was a couple of them specifically, where like it was like the face looked all flattened.
Yeah, it's downright bizarre.
You know what I didn't like about this one is that this felt to me like this book has always had a bit of feeling like an older book.
Yeah.
Like from the 70s, but this one, like when Zemo got here, it was really like it was almost like a joke in
that's why Zemo's great, because he is like a joke. I don't know why. Like, Zemo makes me laugh. Like, that's the thing. And that's
fine if that's what you want. They want to bring Batroc on for that, do that. But the thing is, when the Thunderbolts brought in Zemo,
it was awesome.
Zemo became a real character to me.
Yeah.
And so you had to stop playing him as a joke. And in this one, it was just like, ha, you'd beaten me? You fool. And they
always have the upper hand. And yeah.
And it was over and over. And I wasn't enjoying it at that part. I was not. And
so it's like the dissonance of it being like a really cartoony kind of villain with it being sort of modern storytelling. Well, like, because I mean, it's hard to see that with Brubaker.
Yeah,
it just didn't hang together, and that's why. And I really felt like it was going through the motions and hanging back on nostalgia.
Yeah,
well, the way. And then one other thing really bugged the shit out of me in this.
I'm sitting on something. I'm gonna explode. What was it that bugged the shit out of you?
There's the sequence where they're fighting the Nazi and Captain Steve.
No, is this his hand?
Yes.
Yes. I don't understand that. So like
we don't break hands.
They're fighting, and he doesn't even. Steve grabs his hand, and it looks like he's got a metal hand. But when Steve grabs it, the metal breaks off, and the guy goes, "Ah, bastard, my hand!" And Steve is like shocked. And he goes, "I thought it was robotic." And it's like, what? Like we
and
can't.
And Sam is like, "No, Steve." And the Black Widow standing there, and that is the worst drawn page.
Yes,
whole thing.
And then later on, Black Widow's trying to get him to talk, and she's like, "Talk now, and you get that hand looked at." It's like, what?
And like, Black Widow's a killer. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, it just was from out of nowhere, and
that's the thing that totally shocked me about that. Where I was just like, "What the hell is this? Like, what the hell is this?"
Oh, the art was all over the place.
Yeah,
and I actually, you know what? I really liked the Nomad story again. I thought they'd been pretty good. The artist on it was fantastic. I'm like, you know what? It's been, I don't know how many issues it's been because they renumbered it, but it's been a lot of issues, and I wasn't into it, and I just like, you know what? It's been long enough.
Right.
That is a Marko Djurjevic cover, and it is not good either.
Yeah, the cover is pretty rough as well. Yeah.
It just looks like entry level Photoshop coloring.
Yeah. But yeah, that hand is that's what I was. That's why I wanted.
I'm like, first of all, okay, Batman breaks hands. It's like, break his hand.
Right.
He's a Nazi. He's a killer.
Yep.
You're not shooting him. You're not. That's nothing permanent. Break his hand. Okay. No one cares.
The shocked look on Steve. He's like, oh my. Like, I
know.
It's just like, what?
That's like when you're having a snowball fight when you're a kid and you get a little bit of ice in your ear and you're like, times, guys, times.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Like, all of a sudden, the stakes drop dramatically.
That was really weird. That was.
I just am like, I don't know what I'm reading anymore, and I don't. I'll figure out and you know, it's been a nice long run, but I'm just hanging on here. And like every time, like everything will be, something will be kind of good, and you'll be like, all right, no, it's getting good again, and drop back, and it's just like, you know, this is just that last date that you go out on before you know that it's really over.
Oh, well, are you breaking up with Scalp too?
God, no.
I've heard it's about stem cells this week or something.
I don't believe that's correct.
It's not correct? Okay.
Scalp number 40?
I wish Connor were here. This actually...
Nice. You know, we're right here, you
great.
Know. You well, know, no, like, jeez.
Just talking to myself. So far, this is the talking to myself show. this is basically, this is a dual sort of storyline going on here where both Dash and not Gina, but I forget her name, Red, his girlfriend, Red Crow's daughter, are both trying to drop the smack. They're trying to kick the habit.
Yeah.
And there's some little flashbacks to when Dash was a little kid and his father shows up. And it's actually some really nice, some really touching stuff. And I don't really like dream sequences very much. I hate dream sequences. It's one of the things I hate more than anything as a narrative device. Dream sequences and hallucinations, I just can't stand them. But they actually kind of worked
on
here.
6 feet under.
Yeah. And they was like, wait till they ruin The Sopranos. If you just took all those out. Anyway, but it really does do a good job in this one of getting to Dash's subconscious and the sort of stuff that happens. It was sort of an art extravaganza for R.M. Guerra, who's done this for a really long time. But the first section, which is a flashback, you don't really know it right away, to Gina, Dash's mom, in like an abortion clinic, and she comes out and she breaks up with his father, and it's just a really touching little scene done in the first three pages, and it's sort of sad, and it's a great book. I was like, every issue that comes out, I'm like, man, this has no right being this good this often, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it seems that he's got a good run with it. So
yes,
cool. So it seems as if I completely dropped the ball by not picking Superman Secret Origins #6, because that was the resounding community pick.
Before we get into the review part of it, now I was reading this and I was enjoying it, but at some point I think things were late and I don't remember if I bought the issues that came before. So I was like, I don't even know. I feel like
that's my biggest complaint. Why I didn't want to, well, personally, well, first off, I didn't like it. So I mean, it's not not like I hated it or anything. I just it goes back to my whole I don't care about Superman, but I was just like, I was like, this series didn't end. Like, I was surprised. Like, I thought it was over.
Like, it was one of those ones where, you know, you've said, Ron, that if you don't remember missing an issue, you don't remember the last one, then you drop it. And I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I feel like 3 was the last one I saw.
Yeah. But I would like to know why I'm wrong.
Well, you're not necessarily wrong. You didn't like it. That's your thing. I mean,
you loved
me.
It,
I'm an unabashed Superman apologist, I have to say, because I know a lot of people think he's boring and lame.
Ron understands that.
Yes, I do. I can relate.
I make no apologies for liking this book. I thought, I think that, I mean, the opening pages, you have Lois talking to her father, General Lane, and that sort of, I think, sets up what's going on. And I was quickly brought back into the story. And I think it's, you know, it's a question of when there's a big delay like this, it's how invested you were in the story in the first place. I was really into this. I love Jeff Johns and Superman, and I liked what had happened before. So this is like on the top of my conscience, you know, like I knew what was going on going in, and I was ready to go. So I like that it's sort of a smaller story. I know a lot of people were saying that it ends kind of quickly, or it seems rushed, or there's not a huge confrontation in it, but I like that it was more about Superman and his relationships. I wrote a review about it on the site today, and I love the Lois in this. I love how Jimmy interrupts a tender moment between Lois and Clark, or Lois and Superman, actually. And I just, I believe that, you know, I believe their relationship. And I think it's more about the relationships than necessarily action. Although there's a cool little Metallo fight in here, and I think the storytelling is really good.
Frank's art is really good, and maybe this would have came out sooner if it wasn't like double-sized. But Frank really, really did a good job. That whole Metallo fight scene was really good comic books. But ultimately, at the end of the issue, I just found myself, this is just every other Superman story I've ever read or watched.
It's also a retelling of it, so
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right, it's, I know. But it's funny because I did like the previous issues because I thought they were fresher, they were more recent, you know, this sort of thing. But I just found myself just going, you know, meh.
Well, I think we're coming up to sort of this is modern day. This is the current sort of status quo of Superman. And we've seen a lot of Metallo lately and a lot of General Lane lately. So it doesn't feel like something new.
Right.
But I just liked how it feels like a really cohesive origin and everything sort of ties in. Parasite and Metallo are all like really closely related to Luthor, and General Lane is more of a direct threat to Superman. And I don't know, I just like I love the gravitas of Superman and like just how grandiose and over the top he is. And it's just it's gives you that, you know, that sense of goosebumps and stuff. And I got that with the last page where
at any point did anybody interrupt a fight that Superman was in and be like, whoa. Not the face, Clark. He was like, I'm sorry, everyone. I don't know what came over me. I shouldn't have hit him in the face.
There were no hands injured in this.
I still can't believe that. It's like, whoa, Steve.
Maybe there's like a new comics code authority.
I thought it was robotic. What?
And that's when you go to commercial on your bad TV drama.
Oh man, it was so bad. Anyway, but all right, well yeah, I mean I get why someone like you, Paul, would like it, you know, and I don't mean that in a dismissive, you know.
No, you're
one of the good ones.
I understand why you might like it. I don't know, but
I have a friend who's a Superman fan. It's cool. Yeah. You know, so it's
it's just that for whatever
picture of him and his Superman friend in a like a Superman T-shirt. He's like, look, we're buddies.
Just waving.
But for some reason, it just didn't resonate with me. I don't know. I think it ties into my just not interested in Superman-ness. So
I think it comes to the core of what if you are a Superman fan. I think everything in here is like what we love about this character. And if you don't like Superman, I can totally understand like not enjoying this.
Yeah.
But for me, this is my bread and butter. I love this.
All right, good. Good for you. Well, now that it's over, it's probably going to make a sweet trade paperback that you can give to people to get them to, you know, to sample the modern Superman. And when that comes out, you're going to want
to... In 2012.
You're going to want to get it from InStock Trades. InStock Trades is the best place to get collected editions and trade paperbacks and hardcovers and all that good stuff. They've got discounts up to 37% off, which means you save money when you buy your comics. You get free shipping on orders over $50, which is great because if you're ordering more than $50, you're probably getting heavy hardcovers like Absolutes and omnibuses and things like that, so you don't have to pay the shipping for that. They've got over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order. They've got new releases every Wednesday, so as they're coming out in the comic book stores, they're coming out at InStockTrades.com. You can get them there. If you make an order, it usually ships within 48 hours. We are still waiting on some sort of report of someone pushing the free shipping on orders over $50 challenge. We're waiting for the person to order, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of merchandise and see if the shipping is indeed free.
If you do order hundreds of thousands of merchandise, make sure you tell them we sent you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's wipe them out of their stock.
They'll probably just give you a cot at their warehouse and just let you stay there and read the
and
stuff.
Just live amongst the comics. So anyway, so go to www.instocktrades.com. Check it out. Get your comics there. Get your hardcovers and trade paperbacks there. You'll thank us for it. InStockTrades.com. So... to continue, Kirkman. It was a big week for Kirkman. A lot of Kirkman stuff going on.
It was the oddly titled "Guarding the Globe,"
number one.
I love it if next month Captaining America came out.
This is going to be the challenge to see if a bad titled book can survive. Because Guarding the Globe is not a good title.
It is not. Yeah. It does shriek of we had to change this at the last minute.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
This is like the big new super team one. Like he basically makes a point in it about saying that, you know, he wanted to keep Invincible to one book, but eventually the cast got so big and now Invincible's off world for this Viltrumite war. So why not start this team book that's going on?
Yep.
And it was okay.
It was all right. I mean, like I love the issues with in Invincible where the Guardians of the Globe appear.
Yeah.
I always like because I like Robot. I like, you know, like I like
Robot a lot.
Yeah,
Robot
me too.
And Monster are really great.
Yeah, me too a lot. And I like the Martian Plastic Man guy and stuff, you know, and I do like Brit, you know.
Shapesmith,
yeah. So you know, I thought this was good. I thought it had shows promise.
Uh-huh.
I thought the art by Ransom Getty, who's got a great name, was really good.
Yeah, it was. That was actually a nice surprise.
Yeah, it was really good. It just the problem with this is that it's the kind of thing where, you know, can these characters maintain their own book? because beyond like the fight scenes, like the scenes where they
that
were
scene in the apartment.
Yes, that was rough. I don't have enough recognition of these people out of costume.
I'm not trying to say that they all look the same.
But
I didn't know who they were. I didn't know the white people were either. So it's not a race thing. I'm skirting the edge of what's okay.
How was the characterization of Harry Potter in this? That's what
the bonus for this was the backup, which was, if you remember, when they announced this book, they did a joke teaser campaign where they revealed the members of the team, and it was Invincible, and then it was Spawn, and then it was Rick from The Walking Dead, and then it was Harry Potter, then it was Obama. And they continued that joke with a one-page, gag comic by Chris Giarrusso and a great cover, which I just laughed. I love the fact that they're going to keep that going.
I'm not Hitler!
Yeah. And I just love that the Rick from The Walking Dead with a hatchet and no hand. Like, it's just like,
and he's in black and white.
Yeah. So,
what else is funny? That Invincible is prominently featured on the front page of this.
And isn't it?
Twice more. Yeah. No, that was the best joke of the whole thing. Yeah. Is he talking on the phone? They don't go back to it. He never shows up again.
Yep. And I also like the dramatic. So Cecil, the guy from the Pentagon, who's Invincible's handler, is the guy who pulls the team together. I did like the dramatic over the head shot of him going, it's time to truly begin guarding the globe.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, but it was good. I'll keep reading it until it sucks. So.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I enjoyed it. But I just wanted to briefly mention X-Factor. X-Factor number 208. X-Factor just continues to roll on being really good. Just really quality, really good.
This was renumbered. I haven't missed 100.
No. It went back to its original numbering. Okay. My only criticism is that right now things are like they've got the team scattered, and they're Madrox is off over here doing something over here, while Richter and Shatterstar are doing something over here, while Monet's doing something over on the other place.
Is Peter David still writing this?
Yes, Peter David's still writing it.
That guy can dig in.
Yeah, he's dug in. So this one, Ron Sinclair comes back to, and she's pregnant, and it looks like it's Richter's baby, and she walks in on Richter and Shatterstar making out, and chaos ensues. But it's just done, and it's just done with class. It's not done like he's handled the whole Richter Shatterstar romance thing is just being like it makes sense. It's not like a novelty thing, And also, Longshot is hysterical. I just love Longshot. So I like X Factor. So,
yeah,
hey.
I support you liking X Factor.
Thank you. I support you liking Superman, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, this is getting passive-aggressive now.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk about Dracula Company of Monsters, which was a lovely surprise this week.
Blah, vampires are overdone, blah. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to actually listen to what you have to say.
Well, That goes into it a little bit, but I saw Busiek on the cover, the name Busiek, and although after I read it, I realized that he didn't actually script this, he did the story, and it is created.
That's an hour of work.
Created in story by Kurt Busiek, written by Daryl Gregory, art by Scott Godlewski, and this is a new number one from Boom, and I saw my old buddy Dracula on there, and I said, let me give this a shot. And I was asked on Twitter, why should I read this? For people who are so tired of vampires these days, like, why should I read this? What can convince me that this is good? I think it's an interesting concept. It's not like reinventing the vampire. It's not like a new take on the vampire. It's very like it's all Vlad the Impaler and everything like that, all historic. And it's my elevator pitch for this is that it's Gordon Gekko the Impaler, because it feels like a combination of Dracula and Wall Street. Because it's Dracula being resurrected by this crazy corporate, I don't know if it's a law firm or, but it's some kind of, Wall Street organization, and they want to bring Dracula back. And I get the sense that it's going to be about Dracula in the corporate world. And I just thought that was it's not as cheesy as that sound. It's a very different sort of idea. And I thought it was really well done. I thought the writing was good. The art was pretty solid. I'd give it like a 3.
It's a good artist, but I don't think the coloring is very good.
Yeah.
I like the inks and the pencils. Mm-hmm. Coloring, not so much.
It looks a little bit like Fiona Staples. Just a there, just some character moments that just remind me of her. But it's if you watched Whedon's Angel series towards the end, there they work for an evil law firm called Wolfram and Hart, and it's, you know, this demonic law firm from hell. So I think that's sort of the route it's going. So it's sort of a tongue in cheek kind of idea, but it's really well done. I was really surprised with it.
Very good. I feel like Dracula doesn't really count as the vampire thing. Dracula's its own thing.
Yeah.
Look at him on the cover.
Yeah, he'll always exist. I mean, that's the thing.
On the cover, he's like Dracula.
Yeah.
You know, the red sort of frilly cape on the inside and the tux or whatever. Last issue of Battlefield's Motherland number 3 came out. This is the second closing of the second series of three stories in the Battlefield sort of saga. This is the one that revisited the very first one. This is pretty good. It's getting to the point where these, like, I like them a lot, but I want to like them a little more than I do.
I think it's because you're used to it and the novelty's worn off.
Maybe, but yeah. I think also this one, like, he set up a whole other story in the last issue that was really interesting and then did away with it really fast.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was, again, though, that was really nice was that you see so few stories that are about, you know, you see all sorts of World War II comics about the Americans and the Germans, but this is from the Russian side, and it is just so fascinating how they waged their war and how they thought of it. It's completely different than ours. And Garth Ennis was so tied into that all made it worth it. Cool. And the Russ Braun art was really excellent too.
Cool. Savage Dragon number 163 starts the whole six-part Emperor Dragon storyline, which Savage Dragon just has been great. We had a preview of the latest trade paperback that came out this Wednesday. Great jumping on point if you want to get into Savage Dragon. But I wanted to quickly highlight the flip book of this. They're doing for the next year, they're doing the Twisted Savage Dragon Funnies, and we had a story written by Vito Del Sante with art by Rachel Freer, and it was a take on Savage Dragon with Savage Dragon in the 50s. As a greaser car racers, which made me laugh.
Did he slick back the fin?
No, he didn't slick back the fin, but he was in a leather jacket. And yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun to read. It was too short, in fact. So good job by them. So yay.
Too short, like our time to talk about all this stuff, because we have to hand some of it over to you, the users. We'd like to highlight some of the user reviews that you put on the community. First one up is from I Make Reality, who talked about the darkness. Four Horsemen number 1 gave the art, the story of 4 out of 5 and the art of 4 out of 5. You may remember we talked about this book in our Don't Miss podcast with the writer David Hahn. There's David Hahn and David Hein. That's easy to get mixed up. Pick of the week percentage, 0. With the Artifacts maxi series having kicked off in such an enjoyable way, I'm trying to get back into the Top Cow universe. There's such a mythos to all of it now that it seems a bit daunting. But I remember when the darkness first started coming out, and how much fun it was to have this straight up horror brawler comic book. Darkness Four Horsemen really gets back to those roots. David Hein pulls off the more showing, less telling trick to make sure that you get the gist of Jackie Estacado. Definitely recommended for established fans and anyone looking to learn more about one of the primary characters of Artifacts without the weight of all the continuity baggage. And that very well sums it up, I would say.
A lot of buzz going on with Top Cow with the whole Artifacts thing. People are really enjoying it. I heard the guys on 11 o'clock comics talking about it, and apparently the Angela series has been good, and just, you know, it's, if you're looking for alternatives, it's right there for you. So. Mm. Cool. Our next review comes from Storyteller SJK, who reviewed Deadpool Team Up number 890. I thought we'd throw a bone to you Deadpool fans because we don't cover Deadpool enough. And Storyteller SJK gave it a 2 out of 5 for a story and gave the art a 3 out of 5.
So you're not throwing much of a bone, really.
Not much of a bone. But surprisingly, about 1% of you made it your pick of the week this week, which is shocking. Storyteller SJK says that this issue continues along like the majority of the series has, amusing yet ultimately disposable. Certainly this is one of the better Deadpool titles available on the market right now. The simple fact remains, Deadpool has become ridiculously, hideously overexposed. If you have somehow managed to avoid becoming completely sick of the merc with the mouth, then you could do far worse than this usually done in one series.
Ringing endorsement.
Ringing, yeah, exactly. Deadpool, I don't know why they waste the paper, seriously.
Oh, I'm not speaking for that. I'm not taking up that cause.
All the titles look the same to me.
I apparently they print these books. I know I could care less one way or another. If you're enjoying them, good for you.
Good on you.
If you want to leave a user review, you can go to ifanboy.com/comics and make your pull list, and then you'll have a chance to write a review on any of the books, and we highlight some of the ones here on this show. So do that.
Cool.
Because it's good.
Yes. On to the email. Our first email comes from Elliot from Susan, and he goes by Duraflame. What is that?
Duraflame Tree.
It was almost a Rusty Auto Parts moment. Duraflame Tree. Duraflame Tree on ifanboy.com. And Elliot says, I was wondering if there are some rules regarding how much of a comic you can read in the store. If I'm in a bookstore like Barnes & Noble, I will read a whole issue and put it back on the rack without feeling a modicum of guilt. If I were in a comic book store, I would probably just buy the issue based on the cover and not even flip through it. I know some places have different policies and sometimes post them, but I can't bring myself to flip through a comic for more than a couple seconds if I'm in a comic book only store. I feel like I'm stealing from them in a way. Whereas the bookstore doesn't live or die on comic sales. Well, that's like generalization. What's your opinion? Is reading a couple of pages okay? Do you read the whole thing if they don't have a written policy? Am I overthinking this?
C. Yes. If you get kicked out of a shop, you did too much.
Well,
if not. You're okay.
Well, here's the thing. Despite your assumption that Barnes & Noble doesn't get hurt by you reading it, eventually they will.
The policy of reading a story and then, you know, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
They have the chairs.
Yeah.
They put chairs there. I read all of the Preacher trades in Borders.
Really?
I couldn't afford them. I went on there on Sundays and I'd read through them. I bought them all eventually, but
right,
not
yeah.
them.
That's interesting. Well, the thing is, like, the comic book store, you know, if the comic book store or the bookstore has chairs out and couches, they're encouraging you to sit down and read.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of an unwritten contract there, though, that if you show up every day and sit and read for hours and never buy anything, eventually you're going to get annoyed.
It's also weird.
Buy stuff.
Yeah.
If you buy stuff on a regular basis, you can probably do whatever.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Also, if you're going to flip through comics, don't get in other readers' way.
Yes.
That's the way. When you're standing right in front of the shelf, don't block people.
And also, don't do that thing where you flip through them trying to find the best copy. That has nothing to do with your question, but it's just annoying.
So I don't know. It's tough. You got to play it by ear, and don't be afraid to ask. Like, hey, do you mind if I? You know, I'm not sure if I want to get this. Do you mind if I read a couple pages? You know, I mean, it might be an awkward conversation, but you should get the feel for whatever store you're in. You know, like if you go to Midtown Comics, you're not there to read. You know,
there's nowhere to do it.
Right, but if you go to in San Francisco here, we have Isotope. In L.A., you got Secret Headquarters. In New York, you got Bergen Street. There are other stores that encourage that. They've got chairs, you know. But ultimately, buy something. You know, keep them in business. So
that's fine. But yes, you're overthinking it. Although we could go on for another 10 minutes, it seems.
We totally could.
John from Orangevale says, "I am going away to college, and did a little research to find a new comic book store to go to. I'm pretty shy, so I never really hung out with anyone at the old one. What should I do the first time I go to this new one? Thanks. P.S. I don't really have a comic book. I don't really have comic book reading friends. Any help meeting new people would also be great." This is bigger than about comic books, isn't it?
A little bit. Well,
you guys are jerks.
Why?
I don't know.
I had to say something.
It depends where the new college is. Hopefully, it's in an area where there might be some other iFanboy listeners, and we have tweet ups every once in a while, and hopefully more people can sort of carry the torch on that one in different areas. That's always a good way to.
But people. I think Josh's observation is right. Is that this is a bigger question than what should you do the first time you go to the new one? The first time you go to the new one, like for me, every time I move to a new city, I've gone to the comic book store and I've never walked in and be like, "Hi, I just moved here. I want to be your friend."
Or I also like Green Lantern.
Yeah, exactly. What I've done is I've gone to the store, and the first time I'm in and out in 4 minutes, and then this next time I linger, I stayed a little longer, and then the proprietor will be like, "Oh, you're liking that book," and we talk about it a little, and next thing you know, it's 7 years gone by, and you feel really bad when you move because you're taking business away from them, you know, like, and you're there for an hour.
Well,
and a half.
Hopefully he'll be out of that college by then.
True, hopefully, but you know, and the thing is that we always talk about great comic book stores and how we you meet friends and stuff like that. There, that doesn't exist in every city. You can't expect it, but you should be open to it. But but just don't go in there expecting it. That said, if you're looking to make friends at college, like I know a bunch of people who, you know, there was a girl who wanted to make friends with like comics, so she started a comic book club at her college, and now she's got like this group of ten friends who are all into comics, and they're like super tight. Like, do that, you know, like.
You know, the iFanboy exists because we were friends in college, but exactly. We didn't meet at the comic book store.
Even more so. We ignored each other at the comic book store for years.
You did.
Once.
Don't turn that on everybody else. here's something I'm gonna tell you. You're going away to college, and something I want to tell you. You sound like you're a shy kid, and you had a hard time making the right kind of friends that you wanted in high school. Dude, I'm right there with you. Because there wasn't anybody that I went to in high school who had the same kind of interest in me, and I didn't realize that until later. When you get to college, there's more people for one thing, and there's much more diverse taste, and you're much more likely to meet somebody who, if doesn't like exactly the same things, at least has similar sensibilities. And you will make friends like that. You will make your lifelong friends in college.
I have to give you credit. You were at least far more forward as far as making friends than I ever was in college.
Like, I don't even remember.
Well, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but like my approach has always been like I just show up and people who I find cool I talk to and like whatever. I never really thought about it, but Josh and I had a clash junior year, and Josh overheard me talking about an episode of The Simpsons that I had on tape to somebody, and then went home and emailed me and said, "I overheard you talking about this episode of The Simpsons. May I borrow it? If you lend it to me, I'll give you a cookie." I still have the email, like dated 1997. And then honestly, I got that email and I was just like, instant friend.
The cookie sort of makes it okay.
Exactly.
I still write emails like that.
Yeah, exactly. But meanwhile, I would never have done that. I would have spent like weeks trying to figure out how to talk to you and like, how to, you know what I mean? But, like,
and that's odd because I'm way more shy than you are.
Exactly.
I mean, now, back then, I was a mess.
Yeah. Ironic, isn't it? So
you know what? It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
John, I swear to God.
Seriously, dude. If you're going to college and you want to make friends in the comics, buy a fucking Blue Lantern shirt.
Read in public.
Read in your read some good, though. Read, you know, like, oh, no, it's just I was reading Batman Year One again. I like to read it every few months just to.
But the thing is that you will people who are into this. If you're looking for people who are into comics, you'll find each other. But also be warned that just because they're into comics doesn't mean that they're going to be your best friend or that they're not an asshole. People who read comics, sometimes you don't get along. You know, like there were people who read comics that we went to college with that I couldn't stand. So you know, but it's definitely a good entryway. And
I know hundreds of them.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, so you know, it's. You know, don't expect that at the comic book store, but that's definitely a great place to look. Unfortunately, we had a shitty comic book store in Ithaca, and it was very unfriendly and not the kind of place you hung out at. You got in and you got out. Yeah. So
this is the guy who made fun of the books that you bought. And you're like, dude, yeah. You work at a comic book store.
Go to the quad, put like down 40. A copy of the Infinity Gauntlet with a string attached to it, and hide behind a tree. Wait till someone comes along.
Or similarly, get yourself a big box, and a stick. And then under it, put a 52 trade.
but like, volume 6, not like volume 1.
Yeah. You want somebody who's hardcore.
Yeah. So if you have any questions about comic books and social interactions, email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We will help you make friends in college, apparently. All right. So on to the voicemail. We are huge in Wisconsin, and our first voicemail has got another criticism about the Avengers.
Hey, this is Tony Collins from Wisconsin. I was just wondering, with the new Avengers books, I kind of think it's lame that there's two Avengers teams in New York City. I think that one of them should relocate to the West Coast. I was a huge fan of the Avengers West Coast or the West Coast Avengers, and I think that would be a great concept to explore. Seeing how Wolverine and Spider-Woman are already from the West Coast, or Wolverine lives there now and Spider-Woman was from the West Coast, why don't they move one of the teams to the West Coast and create new and interesting stories? Just want to know what you guys think. Thanks.
Tony, I was like, dude, who cares? It doesn't. And then I was like, no, I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Like he totally verbalized something that I haven't been able to put my finger on. He's absolutely right.
Because the thing is, there's a couple of things there. Comic books always have a good time when they capitalize on nostalgia. And now you've got new Avengers and Avengers and whatever the other one is. Yeah, why not do a West Coast Avengers? You've got Hawkeye and Mockingbird in a book now.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the logistics of who cares where they can transport themselves all over time and space. So that doesn't really matter.
Right, yeah.
But that would lend something else. And I was trying to think, like, L.A. just has a different feel than those New York books.
Yeah, I mean, I think about
Fraction. Not necessarily L.A.
Think what Fraction did with The Order. Like, mm-hmm. that was really good. Like, nobody read it, but that was really, because there was no characters that anybody recognized. But
there's your problem.
It, you know, it took place in L.A., and it was really good. It was really fucking good. I mean, like, Avengers West Coast was so much fun, and you get a whole different host of different stories. And honestly, I think that, to Josh, your problem with the Avengers, there might be too many Avengers titles, and the fact that they're four blocks away from each other between the tower and the mansion, it's too much.
And all being written by the same guy.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I think I'm actually surprised they didn't do it now. The more that I think about it, like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. So, anyway. All right, our next voicemail is also from Wisconsin.
Hey, guys. This is Ian from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. I was just wondering what comic book series that you guys have given a fair shake to just doesn't do it for you the way it seems to for everyone else. For me, you guys will ridicule me, but I don't care. It's Why the Last Man, which I liked at the beginning. I thought after three trades it got really redundant and kind of boring, yet I finished it anyway. But on the other hand, Ex Machina, I loved from beginning to end, so I'm not sure. But that's my question. Thanks.
That's actually a good kind of observation of something that happens. We talked about it earlier. Josh, you guys love Scalped. I read the first trade and I was like, yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just didn't grab me. I was not interested. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying that it's not quality. I don't think like, oh, it's overrated or it's bad. It just, all the Batman stuff, all the Superman stuff. It's just that I read, Connor bought me the Superman Legionnaire's Disease, Legionnaire's hardcover with Gary Frank and Jeff Johns.
Legionnaire's Disease? that can't be the name of it.
No, it's not.
He bought me, what was that? The JSA Lou Gehrig's Disease. You know, that one.
Why somebody hasn't done a Legionnaire's Disease series, God. By the way?
It's one of my favorite storylines, to be honest with you. That's okay. But it doesn't float your boat.
It didn't float my boat, and that's okay.
You asshole.
We get that, like, sometimes people be like, you keep talking about Chew, and I don't like it. I'm like, okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. Don't like it. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, you don't have to. Not everybody's got to like everything, but
Ron, you and I are pretty like there's stuff that we both like a lot, but there's a lot of things that you really like that I don't like, and vice versa.
Sure, yeah, totally.
You know, we think It's funny. I can think of a lot of books that like Casanova by Matt Fraction. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, which I loved. I had a blast.
Yeah,
Fables, the epic. Yeah. You know, your interest in Fables and my laughter at it.
Yeah.
You know, but then at the same time, we meet in the middle on Astro City or on Invincible or on.
Yeah. You know, even like I cannot get into X-Men titles. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I just can't.
And meanwhile, I can't get out of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not a big Kingdom Come fan. I mean, I respect it. I like it. It's not, and it's weird. It feels like a super.
Oh my God. I might not like you, but God damn it, I respect you.
Yes. I felt that way, and then I went back and read it and liked it. But
yeah,
you know what's funny is that he said he doesn't like Why the Last Man. I've heard a lot of people say what he said.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that I've heard now that Ex Machina ended, I've heard a lot of people come around and say, you know, Ex Machina was kind of overrated. And I think that has more to do with the whimpering end that it ended, the last 20 issues
And the schedule.
Yeah, and the schedule.
It has a lot to do with the schedule. Yeah. I think if you were to read through the trades or the collected editions as one story, I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm doing that, so yeah. I'll let you.
But anyway, but I think it's valid. It happens. But more importantly, these two voicemails represent the fact that I think we're more popular in Wisconsin than Tom vs. the Flash.
Well, probably. Yeah.
He was a blood traitor because he moved.
Yeah, exactly.
That last guy sounded kind of like Tom.
I don't think it was, though. Anyway, no. So if you're from Wisconsin, you've got a comic book question, call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. And it also, that number works for people outside of Wisconsin. So go have at it.
Oh, in other states too? Wow. Hey, you want to help iFanboy? Do you like iFanboy? This is a big thing. On Monday, you think, oh, man, I need my iFanboy show. These are the guys. If, say, you don't have any comic book friends, we're important to you, right? Well, one of the things that you can do is to help us out in various different ways. If you like the show, be a part of it. Help make it happen. You could click on the banners on the website. You could use ifanboy.com/Amazon, and anything you purchase from Amazon goes to help us a little bit. You can check out the t-shirts, buy the t-shirts. We got the Fear Agent shirt still. There are some left, and Connor, I think, wants them out of his house. Although he's still wearing them all, so that's also it. The best way that you can help iFanboy is to be a member. You are the people who are contributing to literally paying the bills. I swear, you are the guys who really make iFanboy happen. You can either pay $4 a month or $42 a year, or $10 a month or $100 a year. And for that, you get a little prize pack with a comic book and some t-shirt at the higher level, buttons and stickers, things like that. And you'll be eligible for giveaways. And we've got giveaways all the time now. Every week for the foreseeable future, we'll be giving stuff away.
And it's only going to get better.
And this is what I'm getting at. You hold on. Be a member now. You don't want to miss a chance at some of the stuff that's coming up. And Ron,
Santa Claus is pissed at us.
Yeah, he is. Very upset.
We are. We're knocking on his door.
Got a monopoly, old man. We're coming after you.
Yeah. Well, Josh, we had the big Vertigo giveaway, and Vertigo's up your alley, so announce the winner.
The winner is Jana Hansen.
Congratulations, Jana. You have won a very large package of Vertigo books.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what's, because it's not written in front of me, but I know there's a...
I will tell you, Josh, what the Vertigo books were.
A hardcover of Dong Zhuai, which is actually not technically Vertigo, but still... that's a Joe Kubert book, one of the most beautiful books of the year.
Yeah,
easily.
We also got the hardcover of the Sandman, the Dream Hunters book, which is awesome. The Neil Young, Cliff Chang, Josh Darsart, Greendale hardcover. Peter Bagg, Other Lives, as well as a trio of the Vertigo crime books. We've got the Executor, the Bronx Kill, and Fogtown. Which are all very, very fine crime little.
Executor is really good.
Yeah, I like the Bronx Kill a lot, but so yeah.
Milligan,
indeed. So so congratulations, Jana, you win.
That's a hefty load of nicely packaged books.
Woohoo! So we've got more coming in September. We've got more coming in October. It's going to be a fun couple of months. So become a member today. Also, this is their 249th episode of this damn podcast. Which means that next week is episode 250, and that means it's the 250th episode extravaganza. We're going to be doing an all-email show, and if anybody remembers our 150th episode when we did that, fuck, was that like 2 years ago?
If I do the math correctly, yes.
It was 2 years ago. It was a lot of fun. So send in your questions, get them in. You're going to email them with the subject line 250. So that's the number 2, number 5, number 0. We're only going to read emails that are the subject line 250. And we're going to go all night until we're done. We're going to read and answer every email. And whether Josh survives or not will be
it's like
the
a telephone.
Yeah, it's like exactly. It's like a telephone.
I might have to tag you in. Crosby.
I'm going to have to tag you in, Paul.
Okay.
Take over. I got to go.
So
hour 3.
Email contact@fanboy.com, subject line 250. We want to hear your questions. It'll be a lot of fun. In addition to that, we've got a wonderful podcast called iFanboy Don't Miss, which comes out every Monday, which focuses on a book that's coming out this week that you definitely don't want to miss. And we talked to a creator about it. So you're going to want to check that out on Monday. We'll be talking to somebody, probably.
Last week, I said straight up, it's not happening, it's over.
Yeah.
But I pulled it out at the end.
Exactly. You see, it's one thing to corral us to record a podcast. The creators makes it a little more challenging. But we always try, and it's always good to hear from a creator about the books that they're doing. So definitely go to iTunes, subscribe to iFanboy, don't miss. Or you can find it at iFanboy.com, which is our wonderful website that Josh praised earlier when he was talking about how you can help us out with it. That is the home of all of our podcasts, our video podcast, every Wednesday the Pick of the Week podcast, every month the Book of the Month, the Pick of the Week review gets written, all the great writing. Paul is one of the most amazing writers I've ever had the privilege of working with, and he's shamed my writing skills with his work on the Tuesday Showdown.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, and his other excellent posts. So go to ifanboy.com to read everything Paul writes, as well as all the other great writers. We really are very lucky to have such great writers on our site, and we're happy for that. Go to ifanboy.com/about, and that's where you can find all the social network links. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff. Follow iFanboy on Twitter at twitter.com/ifanboy. And as I mentioned, we have a video show every Wednesday. It comes out. Last week was our show about Scott Pilgrim. We closed the book on Scott Pilgrim. We talked about the last volume as well as the movie and end of an era, really.
As of now, we have no reason to talk to Brian Lee O'Malley again.
Ever again. Other than to talk about hair.
Yeah, so. And you're supposed to go over to his house and play video games and hang out.
Apparently, yeah. Well, you're his best friend, so.
Yeah, he doesn't remember
No, not at all. This coming Wednesday, we've got a great show, a creator spotlight about one of your all favorite writers, Warren Ellis, but with a catch. So you're going to have to tune in on Wednesday to see what the catch is as we talk about Warren Ellis.
You can write to us at contact@iFanboy with all of your what things you write to us about. And believe us, you write to us about everything. You could leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, with questions that you want read on the show, stuff like that. However, the people who did it today, they did a good job. Those were 30, yeah. 35, 36 seconds long, said who they were, where they were from. They had a delightful regional accent, which meant we could talk about that just a little bit too.
Yep.
So that was fun. So again, 888-FANBOYS, 326-2697. Make them good, and you'll hear them on the show.
Woot.
And if you dig us, you can write a review in iTunes, or better yet, you can tell your friends or your crazy uncle about us. He's schizophrenic, we know, and he thinks that everything has subliminal messages in it from the government or the Viltrumites, but you can get him to listen to the podcast, I'm sure, because you're very, you know, passionate people.
The cheese is talking to me.
So, yeah, it's really important to go to iTunes and write reviews, though. And in fact, also, Paul, you've restarted your own podcast there, haven't you?
I've resurrected it.
Yeah.
It's still got some life in it. It's still got some kick in it. I do a sort of a creative conversation show called Fuzzy Typewriter. You can look for that on iTunes. I do that with my good friend David Ocampo of the Wormwood Serialized Mystery Podcast, which is also in its final season, and I wrote for that as well. So check out Wormwood and Fuzzy Typewriter.
Cool. Excellent. And write positive reviews of them because they're awesome. So.
Yes, please.
Cool. Well, Paul, thanks for stepping in for Connor. Those are big shoes to fill, and you did it as always.
Jill, Roger, always a pleasure.
Who's Jill?
I hope I'm Roger.
I know exactly. That was... all right, so until next time, I'm Ron.
You know who you are. I'm Paul.
I'm Roger, not Jill.
I'm not Jill.
Now get your shine box.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.